This is the Walk On Podcast. I'm Brent Faulkner, and this is another episode in the Lent and Narnia series. Each week, we look at an excerpt from the Chronicles of Narnia and use it as a launching point to prepare our hearts for Easter and the celebration of Christ's resurrection. This week, we look at Prince Caspian. As the book unfolds, the children that are the main characters from the first book find themselves transported back to Narnia. And in the scene we're about to read, the children find themselves utterly lost in an overgrown forest. They feel tired, dejected, and hopeless. And at their lowest moment, Lucy, the youngest and most devoted of the children, is woken from sleep by someone calling her name. It's a voice that sounds familiar. Could it be Aslan, the great lion? She follows the voice through the woods, and we read. Lucy stepped out in a circle of grass as smooth as a lawn, with dark trees dancing all around it. And then, oh joy, he was there, the huge lion shining white in the moonlight with his huge black shadow underneath him. But for the movement of his tail, he might have been a stone lion. But Lucy never thought of that. She never stopped to think whether he was a friendly lion or not. She rushed to him. She felt her heart would burst if she lost a moment. And the next thing she knew, she was kissing him and putting her arms as far around his neck as she could and burying her face in the beautiful, rich silkiness of his mane. "Aslan, Aslan, dear Aslan," sobbed Lucy. "At last." The great beast rolled over on his side so that Lucy fell, half sitting and half lying between his front paws. He bent forward and just touched her nose with his tongue. His warm breath came all around her. She gazed up into his large, wise face. "Welcome, child," he said. "Aslan," said Lucy, "you're bigger." "Well, that is because you are older, little one," he answered. "Not because you are?" "No, I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger." You know, as we grow, most of the things from childhood seem smaller. A tree in the yard where I grew up had a branch that I remember I could only grab if I jumped up with all of my might. But today, that branch sits at the height of my shoulder. And you know, it's not just physical things that seem smaller as we grow. Often the wonder and excitement of holidays or vacations grow smaller as we age. But what about God? Does our experience of God grow smaller as we grow? C.S. Lewis seems to suggest the inverse. In this interaction with Lucy and Aslan, he hints that perhaps our understanding and our experience of God can grow as we grow. When Lucy comments that Aslan seems bigger, I'm reminded of a section of scripture from Ephesians that has caught my heart and my imagination in this past year. Ephesians 3:16-19. "I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." I love the tension that Paul sets up in that verse. He prays that we might have the power to understand how utterly expansive Christ's love is for us. Yet at the very same time, he says that that love is too great for us to understand fully. He wants us to understand it, but also acknowledges that as we experience it, we may not understand it fully. The love of Christ is bigger than you can understand, yet at the same time, you can experience it. What do you call it when you experience something without fully understanding it? When you do that, you experience wonder. When was the last time you experienced the wonder of God? When was the last time that God seemed bigger? Our post-Enlightenment Western world elevates reason, rationality, and knowledge And that's influenced how Christians live out their faith. We've created systematic theologies, apologetic arguments, and rational answers to every question about God. And don't misunderstand, those are important and extremely helpful things. They give us a framework to understand God and to pursue truth. But at the same time, I wonder if those things can also stifle our experience of God by placing Him in neat and tidy boxes. And when we do that, God doesn't grow with us. It's not that those truths of systematic theologies are negated or changed. They're actually built upon. They become the scaffolding on which we grow in our experience of God's love for us. But if we fail to allow our understanding of God to grow and build upon those, then we lose the wonder of God. And without wonder, faith gets stale. And one of the things that grabs my heart about Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3 is that he prays that we may experience the love of Christ, though we may not understand it fully. God is bigger than we could possibly imagine, and there's no end to the ability to continue to understand and grow in our experience of God's love. So I invite you into a moment of imaginative prayer and reflection. So find a place where you can be comfortable yet attentive, and take a couple of deep breaths as you focus your heart and your mind on Christ. I want you to imagine that you're seeing a satellite image of the city or town where you live. And it's zoomed in enough that you can see the streets and the houses and the trees. And now I want you to imagine that satellite view slowly begins to zoom out. And the individual streets and houses become smaller as it zooms out. You can see the terrain of your state, and it zooms out even further. You begin to see the continents and the oceans, and it zooms out and you can see the earth. And then it zooms out past that and you see other planets and the sun and our solar system. And it zooms out even further, and all of the planets become little stars. And you see this expansive collection of galaxies in front of you. Now, as you take in the utter vastness of space, you realize that there's something even larger. God's presence stands beyond all of that. He is the creator of the vastness of the universe. Take a moment to stand in awe and wonder of the majesty of God. Now, I want you to imagine that satellite view begins to zoom back in. It moves through the galaxies, moves through our solar system, back to planet Earth, zooms in through the continents, into your city, into your home, and you see you. But the movement doesn't stop. It zooms into your body, in through your organs and the blood flowing through your veins, down to an individual cell in your body. And as you look at that individual cell in your body and the complexity within it, you hear a voice whisper in your ear that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you stand in wonder and awe the God that is infinitely larger than the vastness of the universe, also intimately knows every part of your being. And the thing that connects the vastness of the universe to the tiniest cell in your body is the love of God. I pray that from his glorious and limited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. And may you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I'll be posting more Lenten reflections from the Chronicles of Narnia, so be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss out. Thanks for listening.